You know, over the last 4 years or so, working out, exercising has become a regular part of my life. I just love it. I do it almost every day. But it wasn't always that way for me. For years, I had an on-again, off-again relationship with trying to get in shape and staying fit. Every January, I tried to make a number of ambitious New Year resolutions, like you probably do, and one of those was always committing to go to the gym several times a week. And I always say at the beginning of every year, I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week. This year is going to be the year that it happens. And every year would be the same story. I did really well for a few months, and then inevitably the wheels would come off the cart. And looking back, you know, I tried to reflect on the excuses that I used to make for not working out. Here are some of those highlights. I was busy at work and so didn't have time. I wasn't busy at work anymore and so I needed to relax a little bit more after working so hard. I was getting over a cold, so obviously I couldn't work out. I felt a cold coming on, so obviously I couldn't work out. My car wasn't running well and needed to go into the shop, so obviously couldn't work out. I needed to clean out my refrigerator. I mean, that's been sitting there for months. Or I just came back from vacation and had a lot to catch up on. Or I was going on vacation. Of course, you can't do anything healthy on vacation. And my favorite one was that I needed to binge watch the next season of Desperate Housewives. That's how bad it was. Yeah, commitments. Commitments and the excuses that we have for not keeping them, they're all a part of life. And the tension between the two never completely goes away, right? We have all sorts of commitments, marriage, family, work. Life asks a lot of us. And church can fall into that category too. Spiritual commitments are a part of life as well. At least they can be, and we want to argue that they should be. And so that's why today we're beginning a brand new message series for the next 5 weeks that we're calling Staying Power. Staying Power. And let me give you the bottom line for this series. The bottom line is this: we grow spiritually by the commitments we make. We grow spiritually by the commitments we make. And so this is a series about how to grow in your faith and as a follower of Jesus Christ and the commitments we want to help you make in order to do that. But you might be thinking, Father, I'm already committed. In fact, I'm overcommitted. Why would I want to add any more commitments to my life? Why does spiritual growth matter anyway, right? I believe in God. I go to church at least most of the time. I pray when I think about it. I'm a good person. Why do I need to grow in my faith? But what we'll be arguing is that without a commitment to growing spiritually, you're actually depriving yourself of something incredible in your life. Because spiritual growth empowers you to discover and identify your purpose in life, to accomplish what God has created you uniquely to do. Spiritual growth enables you to become the best version of you, the person God created you to be, the person you want to be. Spiritual growth encourages you to love the people around you the way you want to, but often fail to. Spiritual growth allows you to love and care for yourself in a way that is healthy and helpful. In fact, your most important objective in life could be to grow spiritually. It can actually be more important than your job, your career, your relationships, your friendships, your marriage, even your kids. How can I say that? Because it can determine success in all these other areas of your life. When you are successful in spiritual commitments, when you grow in faith, you will be successful in everything else you do. That's why we should be open to and interested in spiritual growth. But being open to growth is not enough. There's also a second part, and the second part is the crucial part. See, anybody can be open to growth, right? But to actually grow, you have to make a commitment, right? We know this in any part of our lives, right? You can't just grow, you can't get better in something unless you commit to it, unless you work hard at it. And that's why we're calling this series Staying Power, because staying power is absolutely necessary for spiritual growth, because there are so many obstacles that get in the way of growing in our faith. Everything in the world, right, feels more important, more urgent, more real than our spiritual lives. Everything gets in the way to making any kind of spiritual commitment. Everything will conspire against that commitment. Work, kids, sports, family obligations, TV, Twitter, social media. And here's the thing, the rest of the world doesn't support your spiritual growth. No one out there is encouraging you to grow in your faith. Every day we're inundated with information and encouragement, encouraging us to lose weight, to get into shape, to buy that new car, buy into that new style, finally take that vacation. But no one out there is encouraging you to grow spiritually. And the other obstacle is that it takes time to grow in your faith, in the same way that you cannot accomplish anything worthwhile quickly. There's no microwaving your spiritual maturity. There are no shortcuts, there's no silver bullets to becoming the person God created you to be, the best version of you. Spiritual maturity requires a long obedience in the same direction. And so we're going to take some time to look at this over the course of this series. And today we're going to begin with the gospel passage that we just heard, the gospel passage from Luke. Great way to begin this series. So let's look at that passage. The story that we heard today is actually the beginning of a new section in the Gospel of Luke. It's what scholars call the travel narrative. Why do they call it that way? Because Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem. It begins this way. When the days for Jesus' being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem. In other words, it was time for Jesus to travel down south. He was way up in Galilee, and he's going to travel all the way down south to Jerusalem to encounter his destiny, to die on the cross, to be raised again from the dead, and then to be taken up into heaven. And that's a long journey. It's about 90 miles. And if you think about it, they didn't have cars or any help to get there. They had to walk, right? So even at a pretty quick clip, it could take 4 or 5 days. But Jesus meandered along the way. He healed people. He did a lot of things. So it took even longer. And so he used that long road trip to teach his disciples about an important topic, discipleship. You see, he was up in Galilee, up north, right? Galilee's up here, Jerusalem's down here. He was up there in Galilee, and he was making the circuit there. He was healing people, he was preaching, but it kind of ended on a low note. Kind of ended on a downer. Because after all that time that the disciples had spent with Jesus, after seeing him transfigured on the mountaintop in all his glory, the disciples came down from the mountain, and they could not even perform a basic miracle. And Jesus was not happy about that, even though it was a pretty high standard, if I do say so. I mean, I want to make Jesus happy, but I haven't performed any miracles that I'm aware of. But he expected his disciples to perform miracles, and then they couldn't even do a basic miracle. And then to top it off, they started arguing with each other about who was the greatest among them. It was clear that they still didn't get it. The disciples needed more training. And so Jesus used this long trip down south as an opportunity to instruct the disciples on basics. Basics like prayer, like trust in God, like being vigilant, being trustworthy, forgiving, avoiding sin, and accepting the kingdom of God like little children. And he spoke to them and all the crowds that gathered around him about the radical commitment needed to be a disciple of his. In fact, you know, I was telling you how the disciples made a lot of blunders. Well, they had barely set out on this trip down south when James and John made their first blunder. We heard it in the gospel today. Here's what it said. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him because he was going to Jerusalem. Now, why would that be? Well, Samaria was this place kind of sandwiched in between Galilee up north and Jerusalem down south. And centuries earlier, the Assyrian Empire had come in and they conquered all these people up there in Samaria. And they were Jewish people at the time, but once Assyria conquered them, they intermarried with one another. And that was a big no-no for like Jewish people. Like at that time, it was like no intermarriage. You had to marry another Jewish person. And so over the course of the centuries, the pure blood Jews looked at the Samaritans as lesser than because they were like half breeds. And so the Jews hated the Samaritans and vice versa. And so when Jesus is coming through that land, they did not want to welcome Jesus because they knew he was going down to Jerusalem and they didn't want to have anything to do with the Jews down there in Jerusalem. So things got a little heated. And then here's what the gospel passage says. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" I mean, I can see myself doing the same thing. They were angry because they had rejected Jesus. He had been snubbed, and they didn't like that. But they also forgot the basic lesson that Jesus taught them about loving your enemies, praying for your persecutors. So Jesus had to rebuke them. And I can just see him, right, shaking his head saying, "Look, guys, people are going to hate you. They're going to give you a hard time because you follow me, but you've got to love everybody." And it was obvious the disciples needed more schooling. And so Jesus teaches them three things about discipleship in this passage. Here's the first lesson. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And then did you notice Jesus' response? He wasn't like, "Great, come follow me." He's like, "Look, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but I have nowhere to lay my head." As if to say, are you ready for that? If you want to follow me, you got to be ready for that. And that's the first lesson. Discipleship involves sacrifice. Jesus is not promising anyone who follows him that it's going to be a rose garden. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to take perseverance to get through the tough times. It's going to take staying power. Then, here comes the second lesson. A little further along the way, Jesus invites someone to follow him. But the man starts making excuses. He says, "Let me go first and let me bury my father." And you would think Jesus would say, "Yeah, that's okay, of course, bury your father." No, he says, "Let the dead bury the dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And that's the second lesson. Following Jesus has got to be our first priority. Time is of the essence. You can't put it off. You can't procrastinate. You can't delay, even for good, worthy causes. I mean, in the time of Jesus, burying your parents was a serious religious duty. It went back to the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother, and giving them a proper burial was one way to do that. But even that, Jesus said, would be an unjustified delay. Even family obligations have to be put in proper perspective and at times set aside for Jesus. Choosing to follow him requires an immediate response, and that takes perseverance. It takes staying power. Then comes the third lesson. A third potential disciple comes up to Jesus and says, "Hey, I will follow you, Lord, but let me go back and say goodbye to my family at home." Jesus is not very understanding. He says, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what is left behind is worthy of the kingdom of God." And that's the third lesson. Discipleship takes radical commitment. It's a sacrifice, it has to be our first priority, and it takes radical commitment. You might have noticed a little discrepancy, right? Because in the first reading, this prophet named Elijah, goes to another young man named Elisha and says, follow me. Elisha was going to be his protege. He was going to be his, and Elijah was going to be his mentor. And Elisha one day would take over for Elijah. And Elisha says, great, I'll follow you and become the prophet of God, but I need to go back and say goodbye to my family, just like this third guy did with Jesus. And Elijah's like, that's fine, go ahead, go back and say goodbye. But Jesus won't allow it. Why? Because he is greater than any prophet. He is the Son of God. And those who follow him must do so unconditionally and immediately. And that takes commitment. That takes perseverance. That takes staying power. And so as a church, we want to help you do what you can to live as a follower of Christ. So over the next few weeks in this series, we're going to look at some of the commitments that we think are important for spiritual growth. We'll be talking about things like serving in a ministry, helping other people, right? That's sort of a basic. Tithing and giving to the church and to the poor. It's another way of being a disciple. Or joining a small group, you know, and having friends in faith, you know, that you can walk with on the journey. We're going to talk to you about practicing prayer and the sacraments, growing in that. And then, like next week, we're going to talk about sharing your faith, which is probably the hardest one of all. But all of these are commitments that you can make to help you grow in your faith and as a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's a step-by-step process. It's not something that should or can be done all at once. You just take the next step when you can. And if you want to know more right now, if you want to have us help you think through the next step maybe you might want to take in your faith, then please go ahead and get out your phones and text the word STEPS to that number right there, and we'll get in touch, fill out the little form, and we'll get in touch with you, and we'll just set up a time to talk. No pressure, no hard sales job, just one-on-one to figure out what you maybe might want to do next in your life in terms of faith. And the only step we're asking you to take today is to commit to this series. Commit to all 5 episodes. If you're going to be in here in person, that's great. But if you're not going to be here because you're traveling, it's kind of summertime, it's summer light, make sure you join us online. Our YouTube channel, we have all our messages on demand. Well, getting in shape spiritually is just like getting in shape physically or doing anything else that requires staying power. It's a matter of starting small, making it a daily habit, and building from there. And one more thing, for Christ's sake, never ever look back.